And I said, sure. So I went back and prayed about it and said, God, you want me to preach the message that you gave me for this morning? And God totally changed the message. So I do have a word from the Lord this evening. And so if you'll bear with me, let the Holy Ghost lead and guide. The Spirit will speak into the church. I'm going to do my best to give you the message that God has given to me. My title this evening is Walking with God. Walking with God. This is something that God has put deeply on my heart and in my spirit. The last week, it has been something that has been pressed into me day in and day out. Something that is necessary, it's essential, but yet we miss it so often. It's something that we pass off. It's things that we say, well, yes, that's good, but yet we don't go after it. So, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the word, Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 24. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24 is my starting text. Man, God is just so good. This week has been a week of, I don't know what you would call it, just a week of opening my eyes. I've been listening to a lot of Holy Ghost radio, hearing a lot of great men of God preach the word, and it strengthened my soul. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost, and I thank God for apostolic preaching. Amen. All right, so Genesis 5, verse number 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. If you will pray with me that the Holy Ghost will wash over me and anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Mighty God, I call upon your presence. I call upon your name. Hallelujah, that your word would find its way into my heart, every particle of my being. Hallelujah, that every word out of my mouth will be the word of God, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will inspire my speech, that I can preach the word of God with boldness and with courage, with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, to be attuned to your word, God, that you would speak through me. I don't want to speak. If it's me, it's all but gone. Hallelujah, but if it's the word of God that comes out of my mouth, if you are in it, it all turns to gold. In the name of Jesus, I call upon your name and your power, that your word would go forth, and every heart that would be open to receive the word of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Something about walking with God. You see, Enoch was a man that he went after things and he loved God. But there's something he had that was special. He had a relationship with God that was different from those in his day. Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of God, but he didn't hold a candle to what Enoch had. You see, Enoch, he had something about him that he wasn't going to let a day go by without talking to God. When it says that he walked with God, it was because he had the desire, I don't only want to know God. I don't only want to know that he exists. I don't only want to live righteously, but I want to be a friend to God. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want him to give me his burdens. I want him to show me what he would have me see. I want to be the best I can possibly be, but I want to make sure that every single day that I live is a day that I talk with God and say, God, I want your burdens. Today, I want you to speak into my heart and my soul. Tell me what is right. Tell me what is pure. Tell me what is holy. Show me. Give me revelation in the word of God. Give me revelation of what you would have me see. What Enoch had different from Noah was Noah was a man that he went after it daily. He said, well, God, I want to please you today. And he lived righteously, but he didn't have the desire to know God as a friend. It was something that was, God, I want to please you. You're almighty. You're powerful. The Bible uses the word that he was, that God is someone that, to fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so he had the fear of the Lord and believed that God was good and he wanted to live for God, but yet he didn't have the desire for a one-on-one personal relationship with God. Exodus 33 and verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. There's two things I want to get to here in just a second. But first of all, Moses, the Bible says that there was never been a prophet or will ever be a prophet like Moses. He was a man that had something special with God. When he came down from Mount Sinai, the people were afraid of him because the glory of God shined from his face so brightly, it was as though light was coming from his very face. You see, he had the relationship and he talked with God. And Moses, when God spoke unto him, he listened and he spoke back. It wasn't one of those things where that, you see, we get into a rut sometimes and we say, well, God, I'm going to make sure that I pray every day. And we do. We go and we find our altar. We find our prayer closet, the place that we get in touch with God one on one. And so we go and we get into the rut of doing our routine, our prayer routine. We say, God, touch my family. Help us. Bless us today. God, do a miraculous and mighty work and bless my finances that I can do what you want me to do. But we keep it at that. We may do what the Word of God says and enter his gates with praise and into his courts with thanksgiving. We may do this, but we don't have that communication that we're supposed to. And I know that this is a little out of the field, but it's something that God has laid intensely on my heart. We don't go after it to try to be a friend of God. Moses was a man that was a friend with God. But we go after it and we say, I want God to be my very best friend. We want what God will give us. We desire to have the blessings of God, but we won't go after it ourselves and say, God, what is on your heart today? What has disappointed you today? What is going on in the world today? What is the problem that I need to work on today? What are the things in my life that are hurting you? And we go after it and we say, God, I really want to do what I can for your kingdom. I really want to live for you. But we don't go and say, God, speak to me. I want to know exactly what you're telling me to do. But there's something about it. We also want the blessings of God and the fact that we'll go and we'll praise and worship and seek after the Holy Ghost. There's no better feeling than to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But sometimes we go after and not understand exactly what we're trying to do. You see, the Holy Ghost is there, and David explained it, that my cup is full and running over. You see, you have each and every day, it should be a day that you worship God and get a hold of the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost presence, you don't have the victory that you're going to have that day. It isn't there yet. You don't own it yet until you have gotten a hold of the Holy Ghost that day, until you've spoken in tongues that day. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost is what gives you power to be witnesses unto me and to all of the uttermost parts of the earth. And without that power in order to live that day, you're not going to be able to have the strength and the power that God wants to give you. So once you get a hold of that, we concentrate a lot about worship. This is a church that loves worship. We love to praise God. We love to give God glory. But there's something about it that is going to strengthen you, help you through your week. But that is for the house of God. When you come into the house of God, you come before the altar. They begin to sing. They begin to worship. It's a time to say, I love you, Jesus, with all of my heart. I bless the Lord of my soul. And you begin to praise and worship God with all of your heart. And say, God, I love you with everything in me. And this is a worship. You begin to praise and give glory to God. But that is for you. You are giving the glory to God and you are receiving something for that. And you say, thank you, Jesus. You're giving him the glory which he desires and which he covets. But God wants your love. All that he's done throughout all of the Bible has been for love. He wants you to love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul and all of your strength. And we do when we go after it and we say, God, I love you. And we do serve him. But God wants a relationship with you. It's more than just going and saying, God, this is a moment I want to take out of my day to praise you. No, he wants you to take time out of your day and begin to communicate with him. He wants you to speak and then listen. A communication with someone, you don't go up and tell them all about the things that are going on in your life and then walk away. You speak and then listen. That is how that the strength happens. When you're fellowship with people of God and you begin to say, hey, you know what God's done for me today? He has healed my body. Hallelujah. I was there. I went to go get my shot. I died. And God raised me from the dead. God has been awesome. He's been a miracle working God for me. And then you listen. And they begin to share with you. Well, look what God has done for me. God has blessed my finances today. I had no idea. But I went home and there was a check in the mail for $300. God is an on-time God. And that is strengthening and edifying through fellowship. But without the communication, it is all giving and no receiving. So God is the one giving, but he's never receiving your cooperation. He's never receiving you listening. God, what do you want to say to me? What burden do you have for me today? You see, God has a burden on his heart for all of the lost of the world. All of those that have not heard the apostolic message. All of those that don't know that they need to be baptized in Jesus' name. All of those that don't know that they have to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, shatalabaraha. All of those that don't know that Acts 2:38 is the message that all apostolic doctrine is based upon. Hallelujah. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God's burden is so intense. If you can get a hold of it, there's nothing that can stop you. Because you'll be walking down the street, and you see someone walk by, and you can tell that they are in bondage by the bonds of addiction. They're in bondage by the things of this world. Hallelujah. And the burden of God washes over you. Tears begin to stream from your face. And you say, God, I have another person to pray for today. I have another person to witness to. I have another person to tell them the goodness of God. Oh, shata. Luke 13, verse number 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Verse number 33. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Verse number 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come that ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. If you will pray with me for just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. I was listening to a message, and I talked about this Wednesday. There was prophecy given in the church, and said at 3 o'clock that morning, that there would be a holy visitation given unto the saints of God. Well, Brother Steve McConnell, he went home, he went to bed, and the Holy Ghost woke him at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he went after it, and he said, well, I want what God would give. And he spoke in tongues, but he never broke through to what he felt like God was trying to give him. But another man of God that had heard the prophecy as well went home and set his alarm clock for 3 o'clock in the morning. He got up. He began to pray. He began to say, God, I love you, Jesus. I want this visitation. God, I want you to show up in this room and speak to me. I want this Holy Ghost presence that you're trying to impress upon my spirit. And then he sat down and began to read the Word of God. And as he began to read the Word of God, the Holy Ghost began to fall upon him. He got up and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And he felt the presence of God wash over him like he had never felt before. And God began to walk with him in the room. No, he didn't see a visible image. But he could feel the arms of God wrapped around him. He began to walk and God began to talk to him. He began to talk to him in an audible voice and began to tell him his burdens. He said, of the barns. Look at my people. Look at all of the people here that come to the house of God, and they come and they desire the blessings of God but will not seek after me. They want to make it to heaven. They have fear of me, but they are not willing to seek after me. They're not willing to be a friend with me. And so he went and he had a Holy Ghost touch, something that cannot possibly be imagined. He went to the church and he stood up, and there was Brother McConnell sitting on the first row listening. And so he said, yesterday, or I should say this morning, I was praying in my room after the prophecy had been given that there'd be a visitation. I was praying and the word of God was there, and I opened it up and began to read. And as I began to read, I felt the Holy Ghost begin to move over me. I felt the presence of God begin to cover me. And then God began to speak unto me like I have never heard before. It wasn't just speaking into my heart, but he began to speak and began to give his burden unto me. He began to tell me all of that which was on his mind. And he said, I've never felt the presence of God like I had felt it that morning. So this scripture here says, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, which kill the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children, thy children together as a hen doth gather under her brood under her wing, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come that when you shall say, Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Where am I going with all this? Why this scripture? Because when you go unto God and say, God, I want you to give me your burdens. I want you to give me your revelation. I want you to show me exactly everything that you want me to do. And I want you to put it into piece after piece after piece. The word of God is what's powerful. Whenever God did something, he spoke it into existence. When he created the world, the Bible said he spoke and it was there. Whenever he came to the tree and he was hungry and it did not have fruit, he spoke, Be thou cursed. And it was cursed and it withered up. He spoke it into existence. And the word of God is given unto us in the Bible. So when you began to pray and you began to open up that word of God, I need revelation. God, I want you to give me your burdens. I want you to touch me. I want you to let the Holy Ghost come upon me, dear God. And so you began to read the word of God. God is going to reveal unto you all that is true, pure, and holy. It's important that you enter into a presence of God. First of all, you come into the house, or you come into your presence. This is, and I'm not talking about something you're to do at church. A visitation does not happen when all these people are around you. A visitation happens when you are alone in your prayer closet. So I'm going to be transparent with you. You enter into your prayer time and you begin to, you praise God. You start out, God, I love you. I praise you, Jesus. You're everything, God. Hallelujah. You are worthy, God, to be praised. You enter in with praise and begin to tell God how much you love him. Then you begin to thank him. Thank you, God, for all you've done this week. Thank you for all that you've done in my life. And then you begin to, I got to get this out of the way, God. I repent for anything that I have done to displease you today. Show me that I may change. And then you move into, God, I need a touch so that I can better hear what you would have me hear. I want the Holy Ghost to lead and guide me, because I don't want to hear that which is of the devil. I want the Holy Ghost to be your spirit dwelling inside of me to come forth so I can hear the unadulterated word of God. So you begin to praise again and say, God, I want the Holy Ghost to fall upon me. And you begin to pray and you worship until you are speaking with tongues, which is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And that is the point where you can move in and say, God, now I'm ready for your burden. Now I'm ready for your word. Now I'm ready for you to give what you will to me. You go home and it's up to you what you do. I can only do what God has laid on my heart. I urge you to go home, and I want you to go, and I want you to pray. I want you to seek God's face. And then I want you to say, God, I want to be a friend to you, and I want a visitation where I am right now. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be happening in an instant. But you begin to pray, you begin to speak in tongues, you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I promise you that God will show up and show you his burden, show you his revelation. And I'm closing. I know it was a little mixed up. The thoughts were. But when God showed me this, it hit me so hard. I get mixed up in my everyday life. I get mixed up in doing the things that I enjoy doing, working. Doing just my everyday things. They may be things that are good, coming to the church, helping set up for events, cleaning. They may be good things, but I get so mixed up, and when I get home, I go and have some time for me, but when I get to my prayer at night before I go to bed, I get to the place where I say, I love you, Jesus. Yes, I get a hold of the Holy Ghost. I make it a point before I go to bed. I'm not going to stop praying until I have received what God has for me tonight. So I do go after, but it's always, God, you are my very best friend, and he is. Nobody has been as good to me as he has. No one has taken my needs. No one has been there for me as I talk, as I begin to go through my problems, God, and he gives me answers every time. As I begin to tell him, God, I struggled with this today, he begins to use the word of God. He begins to speak into my heart and say, this is how you fix it. This is how you turn this battle into a victory. All right. And I thank God for it, and I praise God, and I say, God, you're so good. And I get my blessing. My cup gets full. My Holy Ghost level may be half, and when I'm done, it's full and it's running over. And I say, thank you, Jesus, but then I'm done and I go to bed because I've received what I wanted. I received what I went after. I received my blessing. But did I receive the burden of God? Did I receive what God wanted to tell me that day? Did I receive God talking to me one-on-one, face-to-face? When Moses spoke unto God, God said, the children of Israel, they need a leader. Lead them. And he said, they're doing evil things as I yet speak. And he goes down and sees them committing adultery in the eyes of God before a golden calf that they created with their own hands, worshiping it as if it was the Lord. And you see, Moses had the burden of God. He knew that all God wanted was them to serve him with all of their heart and to seek after him for a relationship with God. And so when he saw it, he felt so much anger at what they had done and so much pain in his heart because he knew how much God loved them that he threw down the tablets and they broke. You've got to seek after God. I don't just want you to be my very best friend. I want to be a friend to you. I want to be a friend to you. And I'm pretty much done. I have behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come that you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I have this to say, and then I'm done. Tradition won't make it for you. Habit is good. Tradition is not. Habit is where you have made it a point every single day, I'm going to have my prayer meeting. But when you get stuck in tradition, it's because I do this because the preacher does it. I do this because it was what's set before me previously. I do this because this is what is told to me is what I'm supposed to do. Tradition will destroy you. Habit is good, but tradition is not. Because as time goes on, the message becomes distorted. And if you don't have your personal one-on-one relationship with God, then you won't make it. Because if you can't go and say, God, I want the truth. Reveal to me everything that is the truth. It ain't going to happen. Don't take the word of the pastor alone. Read it in the Word of God. Get it from your heart. Say, God, I want the Word of God to speak unto me. I want to see it in the Word of God, and I want to hear your voice. Confirm it. You see, the problem with tradition is that it's passed down from generation to generation. And when it started, it may be okay. When it started, it rolls along fine. But because it's passed from generation to generation, the first person that gets it passes it on to their children and say, hey, God has been so good to me. Look, this is what God has shown me. And they take that and they put it into place and they say, okay, well, then this must be what's right for me to do. And then as it goes down from generation to generation, they tweak it a little bit until it's the first person that had it would have seen it and said, hey, this is not how it should be. Because he got it with a personal relationship and they're just following what was given to them. If you don't have a one-on-one relationship with God, you ain't going to make it. This is one of the simplest messages that can be preached. The first step to living for God is a relationship. If you don't have a relationship, you ain't going to make it. Because without the relationship with God showing you, it ain't going to happen. But what I've preached is, the main part is that we miss in the relationship, in the receiving, what God has to tell us. We say, God, tell me, and we receive that which is in our concern. We are concerned about this. I'm battling with this, so we listen for that answer, and we get it. But we never take the time to stop and say, God, what is it that you are concerned about? And if we would do that, do you realize how much we could avoid? How many problems we could avoid if we would just say, God, show me, speak unto me your burden and your concerns? Because God could begin to point things out to you that are going to kill you before they even get there. Demons and devils and spirits are real. And if you allow God to begin to tell you his concerns, instead of saying, God, I am feeling really, really under the pressure, under the battle from the devil today. When you get to that point and you're praying, God can begin to speak to you. But if we would stop and say, God, what is your concern, your burden today? Then God could tell you the whole thing before it even starts. He could say, you need to protect yourself before you go to work. You need to protect yourself before you go wherever you go. Go shopping, whatever you do. You need to protect yourself because your work environment is full of spirits that are trying to destroy you. Your co-workers, hallelujah, are demon possessed, and you have to protect yourself from that because they are going to go forth and they're going to allow their spirits to jump on you. And if you do not prepare yourself before you go, someone that is filled with the Holy Ghost, they cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. And if you don't protect yourself before you go, then you will. They'll jump on you. So every single day when you wake up, it should make a point. God, I've got to protect myself today. And God, I want to hear your voice, your concern today, so that I can stay away from these things and I don't have to get around them. That you will protect me, that I put on the whole armor of God to protect myself. If you want to have a relationship with God, your first step is saying, God, I want to hear what you would have me say. I want to hear what you would say unto me. I want to hear all that you would give me. These altars are open if you want to come and you want to say, God, I want a relationship with you. I want to not only speak unto you, I don't want to say my things unto you. God, I want to hear what you would say unto me. If you'll just take a few minutes with me, that you would pray, God, I want to hear the revelation of God in all these things, in all these ways, in the name of Jesus.